You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Wasting content.
Ernie Accorsi was an assistant general manager with the Baltimore Colts in the mid-80s when he met a teenager handing out scouting reports to anyone who would take them. He said he considered hiring him as an assistant in the mid-80s, but Accorsi knew that Mel Kiper Jr. was off to great things. We're here to unveil the mock draft for One Night in Pinehurst tonight. And we are back, joined by Hoover, Jesse Tarbell, and of course, Maddie P. Maddie, how fatigued are you by the...
When did Kiper lose it? When did Kiper lose the fastball officially? What year was it like, oh, we're done with him? It's not working.
When did he start?
When did he... Wow, I guess that's a good question, too. Yeah. I'm beyond fatigued. Every day I wake up a little bit angrier until we get to Thursday. I'm peaking. My anger is peaking. This is just taking way too long.
Is it just the amount of consistent coverage that no one has a clue of what's actually happening, or is it my texts?
No, those are wonderful. It's the former, but it's also just like, there's too much time. It's too much time. There's nothing going on. Like, now we're just sitting talking in circles. I'm over rumored. I'm oversatiated with rumors. There's too many rumors. Now the rumors are conflicting the original rumors that were actually about the rumors from before. It's too much.
So, Hoob, you have a specific philosophy on the draft.
A lot of things.
Yes.
Especially the top 10. Remind our listeners who haven't heard your take on what teams in the top 10 should be doing, which they should be thinking about.
If you need a quarterback, you should take a quarterback top 5 always.
KJ said the same.
If you don't need a quarterback, trade back always.
What if you don't care for the quarterbacks at your disposal, but you just feel like you need to take one? What if you don't think it's worth it, the value isn't worth it to take the quarterback? Do you trade back then?
If you think you can get away with trading back and still getting Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, then sure. Otherwise, I say just go for it. Take a QB.
Just keep firing.
This is as a fan's perspective. If I were a GM, not my perspective, just as a fan.
Oh, that's right. Because as a GM,
I don't want to get fired.
Yeah, you don't want a Daniels Fields fired.
Okay. As a fan, I'm like, I'm trying to win Super Bowls. I could care less if we're 8-8, 10-6. I just want to have a good
That's
team.
Not how Gibby feels.
I just want to make a playoff. I want the Broncos to make a playoff. I don't want to make the playoffs. I'm not capable of making the playoffs. But Jesse, the Patriots hold the third pick. What are you hoping for?
I hadn't heard that.
Drake May or bust.
Uh-huh. You're all in on May.
Yeah. Okay. Drake May or bust.
Anybody with a brain.
That brings me to what I'm going to do is this is version 3.9. So the final version 4.0 of the One Night in Pinehurst mock draft will be released on Wednesday. I'm going to give you guys 3.9 and you're going to, give me your feedback. What you think, like, am I out of my mind? Would you do it? Or, whatever.
I have some feedback already. I have some feedback. Yeah. What is 3.9? What is 3.9?
It's the closest thing to 4.0 as we could get.
Go with four. This is 4.0. Five will be the next one. Just go whole numbers. Okay, you're going to lose people. Well, it's not a Richter scale, Gibby. Come on.
It is a Richter scale. Earthquakes are happening. So, I mean, this is we're starting out early. I'm going to give you five picks at a time. Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams to the Bears at one. It's pretty chalky. Jaden Daniels.
Go, Rick.
What's that?
Go, Rick. Good for Rick. Let's talk about Rick for a minute.
Okay.
We should talk about Rick for a minute.
Because he says he doesn't listen to these, but I know he listens because he's always asking why we're talking about him so much. So this one's for you, Rick. He deserves some football success.
Speaking of, there was another question from Anonymous outside of Chicago. that came in. Just the subject line. There was nothing in the body of the message, but it just said, "How dare you again?
How dare you?"
definitely not Rick. Rick has been waiting for this for probably his entire life. Like, this is his weekend, and unfortunately we were supposed to be in Chicago for the draft. We made plans and then he cucked us because his wife's taking him to Italy so she can go on some bike rides and he can hang out at like an retirement home and play games.
Show him off in Milan. In Milan.
It's gonna be up at 3 a.m. watching the Bears draft Williams.
You know, good for Rick, but that's definitely enough Rick content. Let's move on.
Okay, Jaden Daniels to the Commanders at number two. And MP, I don't know how you feel, but MP and Jesse, I'm just gonna give it to you. Drake May to the Patriots at three. JJ McCarthy at four. To the New York Giants, and
you overtraded.
And then I know I did a bunch of trades in the first, and then 15. At 15, Colts move up to number five to go get Marvin.
Wow,
I think that'll be a fun little wrinkle. I want to see cheers.
Can we stop?
Plugs.
Can I layer? Do you want me to layer in a bunch of stats and data and info that I found related to this, or do you want me to sprinkle it throughout?
You want wherever you want to go.
Jim Harbaugh has drafted the same amount of receivers as O-line inside the top 99 picks during his four-year stint with the Niners.
Interesting. So you think Harbaugh is just going to stick at five? Because I think they have two clear needs. So I think they need multiple picks in the top 35, 40.
I think they should trade back to a team that wants J.J. McCarthy, because I still do not believe the Cardinals are moving. Until that happens, I won't believe it, because they are – it just – doesn't make any sense for all the reasons I've mentioned before. So if they're open for business, then they'll move back and you'll see them take whatever, who cares. But if they stay there, I don't think it's a lock he takes a lineman just because he wants to run the ball. They don't have a receiver.
No, they don't.
They have a worse receiving core than the Patriots somehow, inexplicably. Yeah. So, you know, he's going to have to take one at some point. And he could take Neighbors. And you could link Herbert. The Vikings aren't trading Herbert. It'd be the stupidest thing in the world. He's like a perfect Harbaugh quarterback. He's built to be Harbaugh's quarterback because he'll jam the ball into tight windows. He'll get out if he needs to. Like, that doesn't make any sense. So I don't know. I don't think it's a lock that they just take a lineman, even though that seems to be the consensus.
I agree with your first three picks. I know there's been a lot of movement with Daniels. Where, you know, is he going to go to Washington? Is he not? The line has moved a lot all over the place, especially in the last week. But in the last day or so, it's definitely leaning towards him being a Commander, which is great, because I think Maddie and I have talked about this. Hoover would take whoever quarterback. But I know Maddie and I both want May. And if May's not there, then I would consider moving back. So I think those first three picks are spot on. I still think the Cardinals are going to take Harrison. I just think it's insane to pass him up. You pair him with Kyler. Like, that's just, they need that. It would be a bonehead move to pass on him, in my opinion.
If they don't take him,
I do think there's a trade at five, but I think the Vikings are coming up and I think they're going to get McCarthy at five. I think,
they have to get a
quarterback. I would love to, as someone who owns Anthony Richardson in our primary fantasy league, I would love to see the Colts move up and take Marv. But I think it's going to be the Vikings to grab McCarthy.
So Ballard has moved up a few times, and he's not scared of it. And so I think, you know, there could be some interest. And Irsay is on his deathbed. And one more.
He's not dead yet? I thought he died a few times. Yeah.
So I think he's like.
Oh, that happened to everybody. Keep moving.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going 6-10. Six, I have the Cardinals trading back up. Or no, not trading back up. They traded with the Giants, taking Malik Nabers. So they're still getting their wide receiver, but picking up some draft capital. Seven, Tennessee, Joe Alt. I feel like it's the perfect marriage of prospect and team. Eight, I have the Chargers coming back up from 15 and getting Roma Dunze. Wide receiver from Washington. And then nine, you've got, I can't pronounce this. This is going to happen. Fashanow from Penn State, the tackle, and then Brock Bowers to the Jets at 10. Okay with some of the trades?
I love the trades. I am the only one that I know that has Nabers over Harrison. So to move back and get the better receiver, I love it for them. Joe Alt to the Titans makes a ton of sense. Roma Adunze, I think, makes a lot of sense for Herbert and what they're trying to build. I love Adunze. I don't know anything about the tackles, so sure, that sounds good for the Bears. I think the Bears would be pretty upset, though, if they didn't grab one of these three receivers. So that would be disappointing if I were a fan of the Bears, although it's going to be a great night for them no matter what.
You can't give Rick everything.
You can't. You can't have it all, buddy. Brock Bowers is really juicy to the Jets. That's a cool pick. I like it.
It's dumb. Are we suspending disbelief? Gibby, are we suspending disbelief with the amount of trades and we're just going for it? Like, this is Gibby's playhouse? Or because the over-under for trades in the draft was like 16 and a half for the whole draft. And there's always like five in the later rounds. So
I've lost here.
I've lost the thread is what I'm telling you. But I can tell you that. The Jets aren't taking Brock Bowers.
I think they are.
Why would they? Listen, they aren't like wildly void of skill position players. He's a luxury pick at a spot where you don't spend them, and they don't have any linemen. They have drafted more linemen in the last five drafts than anybody else. They've spent more capital than any other team, and they have a bottom five offensive line. If they are hitching this whole wagon to Rodgers, how does Bowers help keep him upright after coming off of Achilles surgery? Like, they have to take a lineman. There's no way. If they take a tight end, it would be classic Jets. I'm choosing, for Nudes' sake, to hope that they aren't that dumb. That would be a catastrophic pick.
So they did sign Tyron Smith, who I know he's more like 38 years old.
He's got like one ligament left. Yeah.
Yeah. And Morgan Moses and Woody Johnson claimed that they have fixed their offensive line. So
they may take Bowers. I'm just saying it is a disaster if they do. Nightmare.
I keep seeing them mocked to it's either Bowers or an offensive lineman. That's what I keep seeing to the Jets. Have you guys seen that picture of Rodgers that came out recently with him with his left leg? I mean, that thing is
Rick never shared that. That's wild. Good on Rick for not sharing that, because I thought he would have been all over it. I don't remember seeing this.
They need to protect him, because that thing will snap like a twig.
Yep.
And they don't even have Zach Wilson to back him up anymore. So, I mean, that
I'd love to talk about Zach Wilson.
I mean, give us your Zach Wilson thoughts.
No.
what is he doing?
Give us the TLDR on it.
Like, what is he going to do? What does he do in Denver?
I just know that women over the age of 45 need to just steer clear. Husbands need to keep an extra eye on text messages going out.
If the Broncos come out of this draft with just Bo Nix or Penix, and that's Gibby, I'm pretty sorry for you. I'm all.
I am embracing it. I want all of it. I either want to like go in and, you know, guns blazing and trade up and get JJ McCarthy, or
you want a fun Bo Nix stat?
Yeah. Yeah. Give me a Bo Nix stat.
What percentage of his dropbacks in 2023 do you think went to his first read?
78%.
85.
Oh, well, I was going to guess 42. I'm way off.
84% of his reads. So that should be no problem, because usually when guys do that in college and they get to the pros, they figure out how to process. Like, it's the game slows down for them, so it should be no problem. So
I mean, that old enough. What would the average depth of those receivers? 3 to 5 yards?
Inches, 3 inches. They actually were technically handoffs, but they felt badly for him, and so they said, we'll let those be completions. Because Gibby earlier, Gibby was like, he's got a 95% completion percentage. It's like, yeah.
Him and Mac Jones.
Yeah. Gibby, I hope you are up there.
Oh, man, you are literally – we just went through this for a few years, Gibby. You do not want Bo Nix.
I've gone through this for 9 years. I don't need like the coaching to get me through.
Well, if you are embracing it, then you have not learned.
Yeah, we're worried about you. All right, AB is going to disown you if you don't get it together.
Hold on, though. Let's go back to 6 through 10 here, real quick, because
yes.
I do. I think your move of the Chargers jumping the Bears for Odunze is. Yeah. That's fun. That's, you know, that's interesting because I agree with you. I think that the Bears should want to come out of this with Caleb and one of those three receivers. Yeah. And that I think they'd be perfectly fine taking the offensive tackle. But if the Chargers did jump them, that would be a snipe.
I think that's a trade down spot too for the Bears if they do get jumped.
Good point.
Wideouts.
I agree.
They need one. We talked about this with KJ. Keenan Allen's got – would you be surprised if he ends up like Diggs this year and then next year he's just not really all that useful anymore? Like, would that shock anybody? He's 33.
Yeah. Felt like he was 1 year left every year for the last 3 years. Like, he's just hanging by a thread.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I think also with the wide receivers too, right? Like, you know, there are 10 more of them in the second and third round that are going to be number two or number three guys. So I don't think it's the worst case scenario if you miss out, but there are three that are clearly like separating themselves. 11 through 15, I've got Dallas Turner to the Vikings, the top defensive player. I have Terrion Arnold to the Broncos, who couldn't find a trade back partner, the cornerback. Alabama,
Jared first.
Fuaga. This is kind of a run of O tackles. Fuaga from Oregon State to the Raiders. Fountainu, O tackle from Washington to the Saints, and then Latu, the edge rusher from UCLA to the Falcons. I think this is why the Falcons are primed to move down anywhere like 9 to 16. They need like one of the top six defensive players in this draft. And it's debatable who those guys are. So I think, like, you know, just take the value when it's there. But any thoughts on some of those guys? I know we have a lot of Polynesian Pacific Islander names in there that I can't pronounce.
I thought, like, going into the first version, so whatever that was for you, Gibby, Latu and Fontenot were, like, higher up. So has Dallas Turner passed Latu in majority of these mocks?
I think he just does everything right. Like, he can play in any scheme. And the one thing like that was a negative about him was his motor. You know, he wasn't on for every play. However, he averaged playing like 78 snaps a game, which is never going to happen for any D end or edge rusher in the NFL. So, you know, I think he's just like plug and play and he's going to be really good. He might not be a 20 sack guy, but I think he's going to be consistent, like 9 to 11 sacks a year.
And this is the portion of the draft I plan to be very bored for if there's no like trade and fun stuff going on.
Yeah.
10 to 11 to 15. I'm probably going to zone out.
It's a snooze fest. Yeah.
Yeah,
it is.
Are you excited about this with your pick Arnold to the Broncos?
I had a 16 and a half year old dog named Arnold. So
and you love Arnold.
If I could throw on those disgusting new jerseys that the Broncos released yesterday, other than the throwbacks are great, but the new ones.
Hey, are you and Bell gonna run back any kind of bet this year for Pat's Broncos? Can we get something?
We have a lifetime bet.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Bell,
you guys are attached. You guys are attached at the hip.
$5 per win, more than the other team per year.
Mm-hmm. Settled up every year.
Yeah. And yeah. I think we did something like playoff wins are worth double, worth 10.
Yeah. Points. And then there was like a race at the golf tournament or something I heard about.
Yeah. I don't think we've been on the show since the race. Do you want to walk through it?
it's just that we just smoked. It was all for this, Bell. It was all for this. No. It was an ambush.
Let's do it, motherfuckers.
In the gym. He's been in the lab cooking up some sweet 40 tons.
I did get a text probably about 3 weeks ago from Bell that said, like, every time I'm doing a workout, I do one more rep. Thinking about that race.
And I love that.
And I think about your stupid head or something.
You two are inspiring each other to stay in the best shape of your lives so you can stay alive longer and continue to troll each other, which is incentive for me to stay alive longer to watch it. So you guys are doing a great thing for all of us, technically.
When I recently started doing Noom, it asks you like your big why. And I originally had put like my kids, you know, I want to, but no, fuck that. I am trying to stay alive because I want to outlive that motherfucker, Gibby. And I want to destroy him in everything that I have the opportunity to destroy him in for the rest of my life.
When so Gibby he is not wrong. Oh, man. The sheepish look on his face where he was like pretending he wasn't super excited, but he was the most excited he's been in a decade.
Yeah.
And it was just...
I'll tell
you what,
like,
we've got a good ROI.
I've been doing some like sprint training recently, and when I went out a couple weeks ago, I literally pulled my hamstring.
Yeah,
because I was fucking going.
You did that. You're gonna get the bill for that, Gib.
And I went. So I've been still doing other stuff, but I went out today for the first time in 2 weeks, and Monica says, "Don't pull your hamstring," you know what? And I went out, and I was much lighter, but I re-aggravated it. So my takeaway is it's probably in my best interest that I ran like Frankenstein that night because I probably would have pulled something.
That would have been even worse. You wouldn't have finished the race. That would have been
Imagine me like, at least like we can laugh at me looking like freaking Frankenstein. But imagine if I pulled a hammy and I'm like laying on the ground. I mean, that would have been humiliating.
Gibby, can you set Bell up with your creatine gummy guy?
What's the creatine gummy guy.
Gibby gets creatine gummies and he can't stop them, and he gets like 400 a month. But they just keep coming. It's like Columbia Records.
Like 10 times. I get 20 emails a day, and then I just get free samples.
Does he think you're training for the Olympics?
I think so.
I think AB's behind it personally, because every time we bring it up, he doesn't say anything, which is brilliant.
I'm doing like Listen. Pete Manning. They're under Nina's name, like Ashley Manning.
Nina Gibson. I'll say this. Arnold Gibson.
Yeah.
I'll say this. Gibby won fair and square.
We all
and
lost.
I'll take a rematch any day.
Yeah, yep. I think we all lost a little bit that day, though. Yeah. So anyway, we'll run through, like, this is, you're right, this is the time to, like, order whatever you're doing for, you know, food. And
Valentine's Day.
Drink. Yeah, Valentine's
Day. Get out ahead of Valentine's Day for next year.
So I've got Amarius Mims, O-tackle to Seattle. Quinyon Mitchell, who I love, the cornerback from Toledo to Jacksonville. They just need a corner. J.C. Latham, Alabama tackle to the Bengals at 18. Jared Verse, 19 to the Rams.
I keep seeing that everywhere.
And Tyler Guyton, 20 to Oklahoma. Why is Jared Verse too late?
As an FSU alum, he was unbelievable last year. He was one of the best defenders that we've had in like 5 years.
How many?
Were you coaching? Did you play? What?
Yeah, he went to school there.
So we went to school there.
Yeah, easy.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Those are the rules. You had to work for the team, play for the team, or go to the school, and you can weed. Yeah.
I
wrote those bylaws, and Rick stamped them, so it's Esquire.
Oh, did he get the paperwork done on it?
Rick was able to get that pushed out before you. Yes, he did. Yeah. How many times, like, you know, I obviously watch a ton of college football. I think you guys watch a good amount as well. How many of those games did you turn on and say to yourself, you're watching casually and there's just one dude on the defense who was making it a living hell for the quarterback to do anything? He's like destroying double teams, getting around blocks, like moving him out of the pocket. How many guys do you realistically say you watched a game last year and you were like, it stuck out on film?
There were a few. There was like, so one is being mocked in like the third round, Tavondre Sweat, but he's a D tackle, right? And like, Another so sweat, positional huh? value etc. And it was just the athleticism. You saw him line up at like fullback and halfback at some points on the goal line. Like he's an athlete. Chris Jenkins is the other one, another D tackle for Michigan.
Yep.
And then Colson, the linebacker from Michigan, too, were the ones that stood out. But, I mean, that being said, most of what I watched were Big Ten, SEC, and whatever primetime game was on, or if I had action on the 10:30 Kansas games.
Of course. Yeah.
Action. I think the last two that really stand out to me were probably Clowney. You know, in the like that really stood out. And then, selfishly, Julius Peppers.
Yeah. I mean – I don't know. Verse was that guy for me. He, you know, they got smoked by LSU. Or sorry, they beat LSU. They smoked LSU. And a lot of that game got out of hand because he, like, created a lot of turnovers. And, you know, they played Clemson. They played Duke, had a good team. They played Florida. And then they played Louisville in the championship game. And then Georgia game, they got smoked, obviously. But, like, they beat Louisville 16-6, and I remember watching that game, and it was because he was just in the backfield messing everything up. So I feel like those guys tend to be valued higher, like disruptors. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm thinking he goes a little bit earlier than this.
We talked a few months ago about, like, team-building strategy, right? And, like, you pay edge rushers, corners, tackles, and quarterbacks, and now wide receivers too. I don't know. Am I missing anyone who – any positions or –
No, Hunter. I like that. I personally would overpay receiver because I think they're the second most important. But I think that's all there. I like what the Rams are doing. Like they are quickly rebuilding things fast, and their scouting department seems to be unbelievable. Their coaching's awesome. If they can land a guy like first, that would be really strong for them.
They might be a candidate to trade back for a team that's desperate for Penix or Knicks too, and get a few more picks since they haven't had a first round pick since like 2015 or something. Like maybe they pick up 2 seconds and a fourth or something, and they try to reload. They seem to be good at drafting. So they could be a candidate to trade back if a team gets desperate that needs to come up and get a really bad quarterback who throws to his first read 84% of the time, or a guy who's been hurt 75 times in his career. And now he's 28 years old and
got we're not talking about like Chris Wanky here. This isn't,
it's not far off.
I can't wait until the Patriots draft receiver at 3.
I'm just getting out ahead of it. If it happens, I'm going to be just as upset now as I am now. I'm not.
I have one more comment on these picks. The Jaguars are not going to let Brian Thomas squeeze by them at 17.
Okay.
I don't think there's any shot they don't take Brian Thomas or Donnie Mitchell at this pick.
You don't think that the Jags might be a team that could trade up for a quarterback since they don't have one?
Oh, no.
I got Gibby and Hoob with that one.
No, I don't like that. I'm buying all the stock I can on Trevor Lawrence right now.
I think they moved to plus 200 this afternoon.
The Vegas stuff is getting wacky.
So you brought up a good point. Like when I'm doing these mock drafts or whatever, this is probably the 378th iteration of a mock draft that I've done since sometime in January
this week.
That's how you rounded up the 3.9.
Yeah, exactly. We got there. 3.8. There's always one player I forget to put somewhere, right? And like, it's like, oh, where's the team fit? And that was Brian Thomas this year. He's going to go way higher than I had him mocked. So that's why I've got to get to 4.0. But then we've got Byron Murphy to Miami, the D tackle from Texas. Nate Wiggins to the Eagles, the cornerback from Clemson. Michael Penix, quarterback, Washington, to the Vikings at 23. Jackson Powers Johnson, who my good friend Justin said looks like he could be my nephew. And I said, no, not quite. He could probably be my second cousin. So we'll post him your uncle and you guys can do the math. And then Cooper DeJean from Iowa, who might be my favorite player in this draft. Safety, cornerback, hybrid to Green Bay.
Oh, what a perfect fit there. He won't last that long. I also don't think that Murphy's going to last that long. Everybody who seems to have a pretty good feel on this stuff says
he's seen him as high as 8.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Penix? Maddie, I know you hate him. Jesse?
He's not good. Not good at football.
If my team drafted him, I would not want any part of him.
He had better receivers than Daniels on the whole. as a unit.
I mean, they have three NFL receivers.
Go watch the game against Michigan in the college football playoff, and I think that'll tell you everything that you can probably need to know about what his future looks like.
You have to watch the game before that too, because he was electric in the semis.
But not playing a real team. Like, he faced a real defense. He faced a real defense finally for the first time all year, and they didn't get beat. They got destroyed.
Michigan beat everyone like that. I'm higher on Penix than most, although I think for the Vikings, this is like their worst case scenario.
Yeah.
They couldn't trade up like they wanted to for McCarthy. And this feels like a plan B or C, getting Penix. I could also see them like just kind of punting and waiting another year, or like trading for maybe Daniels, because the Giants won't need him anymore. But this is like a worst case scenario.
So one of my guys that I follow closely, that I listen to, he's from Minnesota, and just listened to something today, and he said they very much want Drake May. They'll be happy with McCarthy. They are out on Penix.
I could see them, exactly like you said, Hoove, like waiting until the third round and grabbing Rattler or Pratt, someone like that, and you know, punting until next year. But who's there next year, right? It's Shedeur Sanders and Ewers as of right now.
Not good. Not quarterbacks. What if Levis was in this draft, where would you put him in this rank? Where would you have him?
Right behind Knicks for me. I don't know, Hoove. What do you think?
I'd have him after Penix.
So after Knicks, after Penix, but where do you guys have them in this draft?
Yeah.
I have my rankings go Zach Wilson 1. No, I'm kidding. Oh. got Caleb.
That was a joke.
It wasn't. I have Caleb. Yeah. I actually have JJ 2nd. I have McCarthy 2nd. I have May 3rd. Daniels 4th. Then I have Knicks 5th. Penix 6th. Rattler 7.
I would have Levis 5th behind those first four guys personally. I think I'd rather have them than Knicks and Penix.
Probably.
I'd take him over Knicks. I don't love Penix, but I don't know.
It's not good, but it's a fun thought.
Can we just pass on all of them?
Yeah, you can. You should. Most teams hopefully will. Gibby, Alex, our friend of the podcast, Alex from Baltimore, has checked in with a Ravens take. Would you like me to share it?
Yeah, please.
I said, would you like me to say anything specific about the Ravens tonight on the pod? He said, is Lamar Jackson still the quarterback? Then I don't care who they pick. I'll see you September 8th. So
they're just going to pick the best player available, who's going to be great every time.
I think it's a brilliant strategy.
It's so good. Why do you think they've been so good for so long? It's perfect. It's not Harbaugh. I think
the philosophy of drafting based off of need is such a short-term thinking as a GM. Like every draft has strength positions, so you should take the strength position if you're in that tier. So it's so strange to me how some of these teams will be like, oh, well, we need to fill this spot, so let's take a guard when like the strongest player is later. It doesn't make any sense. I think the Ravens are such a brilliant blueprint for building a team.
Yeah, their drafts are awesome. They always are. They'll get somebody they shouldn't.
Without fail. And even when they fail, it's like they get a C-minus or a C player instead of, you know, someone that might not be worth a second contract but is going to actually see the field.
And Gibby, is that a spot for our boy Paul to sneak into the first round at 30? That's
what I'm thinking about. So we'll finish it off. Chop Robinson.
Patrick Paul?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
so we'll tell you a story about Patrick Paul in a second. Chop Robinson to the Bucks, second pick for the Cardinals at 27. Johnny Newton, who I love, ton of energy, like messes up games. A D tackle from Illinois. AD Mitchell to Buffalo. They have to draft a receiver. Kool-Aid McKinstry will be a lot of fun when he's announced in Detroit. Brian Thomas Jr. again screwed that one up to the Ravens. Patrick Paul to San Francisco, offensive tackle from Houston, and then everyone will get annoyed when the Chiefs draft either Malachi Corley or Ladd McConkey.
Oh, that's a good fit in San Fran because he's athletic, and Shanahan generally tends to draft those guys that can get out in space and get after it. Okay. All
right. So on Sunday night, late Sunday night, early Monday morning, we already talked about this yesterday, but Patrick Paul was plus 1,000 to go in the first round. I let Maddie know. I let AB know after I found out his father was the president of Nigeria at one point. Mm-hmm. He is 6'7", 340 plus pounds. His raw, what is it? Raw athleticism score,
relative athletic score
is like over 9, which it's a scale of 1 to 10. One of the best PFF grades we've seen in the last like 3 years. And he is now down to plus 450 to go in the first round. I'm not saying that One Night in Pinehurst had anything to do with the dramatic odd shift, but Maddie definitely is taking credit.
Tell Howie to come find us and give us a buyout and we'll talk. All right.
No. Cashing out.
There's an internet sensation out there. Naki. Is it Ben Naki? Is that his name?
Tim
Naki. Tim Naki. Okay, yeah. It's not Tim. I can tell.
It's Ben.
He's doing his poker. I can't think out of my head. Oh. I've had enough names and numbers in my head for the last.
That's not going to get. That's Dobbs isn't going to be very.
He's not going to be happy about this. it's betting 10 cents per follower, you know, playing blackjack.
You giving away our money? We're
putting $1 down per follower, or we did on Patrick Paul at plus 1,000 to go in the first round.
Love it.
Yeah,
that's good.
So, Mr. Naki, thank you for the inspiration. We're not here to, you know, steal ideas. We're here to borrow them. And
no such thing as new ideas anymore.
You know, help grow his fan base is really what we're here to do. Any takes from the last six or so?
Just get Paul in there.
This is my favorite part of the draft.
I think Paul feels like a fit for the Ravens. Did you say that, Maddie? I think you said
Ravens
that.
Gibby said Niners. Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. That'd be
nice. Mean, I see Niners for Gibby's. Yeah. I think I'm very curious as to what Buffalo and Kansas City are going to do at the wide receiver position.
They'll take one. They will take it. Both will take one.
That's definitely going to be fun to watch. And then the immediate turnaround.
It's going to rock.
You're an AD guy, Hoops, right?
Whoever they pick is going to end up being the sixth or seventh pick in a super flex draft by default just because of it. I'm terrified of AD Mitchell, Hoop, because I really don't want you to be right, but I'm not sure that he stinks yet. It's going to be a true coin flip, but I would rather you be wrong, obviously.
He's hit or miss. Like, there's no
in between. Be an outlier.
It's either going to be incredible or just atrocious.
The upside, though, is like it's like Jermaine Burton. In this class, like if he didn't have all the off-field problems and transferred a million times and did a bunch of weird stuff, he'd probably be in the conversation for wide receiver 4. Like athletically, his tape is outrageous, but he's like Pickens times 10 in terms of being a head case. So those upside guys, though, can hit.
Where do you take him, Hooves, in our fantasy league if he goes to Buffalo?
After my next pick, after Dunza and Dunze, I guess, which would be 9. Without a doubt. To me, he's like
Martavis. You know I'm in front of you at 1-8 and 1-5, right?
Yeah, but you won't take him. You can't take that risk. You need someone safe like Brian Thomas. Yeah. I can afford a risk. AD Mitchell to me reminds me of Martavius Bryant. Like the same threshold, like off-field issues, but when he's on, he's on. He's one of the best. Yeah, that's like the best comp I've heard from him. Kool-Aid to Detroit's a sweet pick. That's awesome.
That'd be fun.
I really like that.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
Lions all fired up.
Rather. That's a great personality in Detroit with the draft happening, like on a team that's clearly good now. Like that's fun.
And they need secondary help.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty bad.
I also love the McConkie picked Kansas City because I just think Kelsey, he's like the third down blanket, right? And he's getting older. His brother just retired. He's probably like, I got one more in me, and then I'm hanging out with T-Swift, just traveling around with her,
learning
31 songs.
He could retire this offseason.
But Ladd plays that way, right? Like he'd be a guy that you could hit on third down. Like he's your safety net.
He's the Edelman.
So I think that's good.
you know, Welker type of role.
Right? Yeah, I'm not a fan of Ladd. I don't see it.
I think he's just he's not like going to like excel at anything other than he'll move the sticks, right? Like, and Mahomes has been the best dink and dunk guy for the last 2 years, even though, you know, when he came into the league, he was the huge arm cannon, like gunslinger to a degree. But.
Have you all heard these rumors about DK potentially being traded for like late first or early second? So
I haven't heard anything.
Nothing, oh, really? Not one.
Apparently,
a new rumor. Hoof. I'm excited. Go on. Yeah.
Do you have a breaking news?
Yeah, breaking hoof.
Maybe hit the board. Hit the board. We got it.
Can I hit the board? I don't even know where to find it.
It's not even breaking. It's a rumor. Is it? Are we breaking rumors?
Right, yeah.
Have you been paying attention to anything? X team may be willing to possibly do X, Y, Z with Y team.
NFL player may be available for trade to all 32 teams somehow. Yeah,
it's so ridiculous right now. So go ahead.
A late first.
So going to the Chiefs or going early second to one of these teams like the Pats or the Giants, the Bills who need a court receiver.
Are you giving up 34 if you get May? Are you giving up 34 for DK?
I would. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Where would you would you put him in this draft out of the receivers?
Yeah, I would put him probably right behind Rome just because of the salary implications.
Four. Yeah. So would you trade the 34th overall pick for the fourth best receiver in this draft? Yeah.
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 All right. Ship it. That's a good one. We're gonna get Ayuk too.
Where do you put Ayuk?
Who else are the Patriots getting? So you have here.
Hypothetical. Ayuk isn't moving.
Everyone.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
No.
You have Ayuk, AJ Brown, and Metcalf.
Higgins. Yeah. Higgins.
T. Higgins. Don't forget about Higgins.
Okay. He's your fifth receiver.
So and DK, then we could win. AJ Brown,
we could win
T.
with
Higgins,
Zach Wilson. We could probably win with him. Yeah.
Wow.
Before we let you guys go, thoughts on the Celtics, thoughts on the NBA playoffs. How are you feeling after game one? Jesse, you were live. You were in person when what was it?
Someone getting picked up by the caboose right now?
I think I'm at a Trump rally. Sorry.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
When Caleb Martin just, you know, undercut our star point forward, Jason Tatum, in dirtiest play I've ever seen, other than when Dwayne Wade tried to break Rajon Rondo's elbow. But what was your reaction during the
game? Way worse than that.
Yeah. Panic. Yeah. Because I was at game 7 last year against the Heat when Tatum injured his ankle in the first 3 minutes of the game. So it was like deja vu for a second. But then you saw him pop right up and you're like, okay, your heart resumed beating.
Did the place explode?
When he got up, I think people were more pissed off at Martin for the play than relief of seeing Tatum get up. Like, is it, you know, right? The angst went away and it was like, okay, he's good. Now let's all hate on Martin, because at that point in the game, I think Martin had 4 points. He hadn't done anything. He had as many, if not more, fouls than contribution on the offensive or defensive side. Mm-hmm. And it was nice to see a guy like that, who was such a dagger for the Celtics last year in the playoffs, put up a total dud. But it was my instant thought was panic. And I was like, Jesus Christ, we can't have this happen.
What do you think about playoffs? Anything that you've taken from the first game, 2 games for some of these teams that you think someone's standing out either in the West? And obviously we know the Celtics are the favorite in the East, but anything else that has surprised you or kind of gone chalk?
Yeah, I don't watch the regular season. I listen to like podcasts and then I watch every playoff game. And this has been super fun. I think this season is wide open. I like years like that. The team that I have most fun watching is actually the Knicks. I love the arena. I love the energy. I love their players. They have like this cohesiveness that's really enjoyable to watch. I love always watching the Joker. Anytime I can watch him play and pass, I think it's a joy. So I like watching those two teams outside of the Celtics.
The Knicks being in the playoffs is one of the best things for basketball. They need to be in the playoffs every year. I don't want them to win anything, but they need to win a round or two or whatever. But
I guess we could see them in the Eastern Conference Finals too, right?
How electric would that be?
We could get the music back. Cool. We'll do the NBA on NBC music, and we'll get that. It'd be good. That could be good. We go back in time. We need to go back to go forward.
who's covering that Eastern Conference Finals? It can't just be Doris, Mike Green, and
yeah, of course.
Reddick. And does Marv
Green? Albert Green did a double bang the other night. Oh, he's ready. He's ready. He's very ready.
I love it. I'm excited. We've got Game 2 coming up Wednesday. I think it's Celtics in four for this series. And
yeah, I think so.
I love the fact that they're playing the Heat. I wish Jimmy Butler was there. And everyone talks about Heat culture. It's just Spo calling timeouts with 1:30 left in the game, down 16, and trying to take out superstars. So, I mean, if that's Heat culture, then so be it. But so we lost Miami.
We don't want no. Dabs is down there. We got Miami still. We'll be fine.
Okay.
We're all set. Yeah, we're good.
Miami's the worst. It's
yeah, it is. It's true.
All right. Good night.
It is not fun. It is not fun. Hey, Gibby. Great to see you.
It's great to see you. Thanks for being a good sport. Thanks for the feedback. We'll fix it up and get you the final version of the mock draft. Maddie's not letting me tomorrow.
Not going to be released behind the paywall.
All right. Draft well. Good night.